पंचकपितृभ्यश्च कृपसिन्धुभ्यैव च प्रतिचनं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। Peter Maharaj has described the positions, the importance of the position of the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, because the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, they have a special function in society. They are the head of society. What is the special function of the head in relationship to the body? It gives the direction, and therefore it is on top. It gives directions, it provides the proper guidance as to which way the body should go. Otherwise, all the trouble will be there. We want to learn from our mistakes. We want to use our intelligence to decide to go either left or right, to make our decisions. So similarly, the function of the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas is to be pure. And also to have assimilated the Vedic knowledge. One can't just read one chapter and then when someone asks a question, just tell them what we've just read and that's the answer. No one has to have assimilated and realized the entirety of the knowledge of the Shastra, and then one can give the proper guidance according to the actual situation of the person. So the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, by nature, by practice, they have to be very pure, and they guide society. And so the job especially of the Brahmins is to guide society to maintain its spiritual purpose, to remind people and guide people so people do not forget the actual purpose of their life. And the Vaishnavas, they have a still more important purpose because they're the topmost of the Brahmins. They carry with them Krishna in their hearts. And by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, they plant the seed of devotion within the hearts of those whom they contact with, within the suitable persons whom they contact. By the association of the Vaishnavas, a similar desire sprouts in the heart of the conditioned soul. And that desire, that faith, Shraddha, that faith that what I want out of my existence is to serve Krishna, that comes from the heart of the Vaishnavas. So therefore, because of the importance of the position of the Brahmin and the Vaishnavas, guiding society and giving the ultimate benedictions, providing the ultimate purpose to the conditioned souls who are trapped within the material world, Krishna does not allow offenses at the feet of Vaishnavas or two Vaishnavas or Brahmins. And because of this point, Prithu Maharaj is glorifying the position of Brahmins and Vaishnavas, because this is the essential point to maintain the devotional service that he's just prescribed for the citizens. He's told all the citizens who love him dearly that they should perform their duties in devotion for the pleasure of the Lord. Be in devotional service. Do not give up devotional service. Stay in devotional service. And to do that, one needs to know the position of the devotees of the Lord, the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas, so one is careful to treat them properly. And indeed, Prithu Maharaj said that the Lord appreciates food less when it is offered to the sacrificial fire and meant to please him in that way than when the food cooked in ghee is offered to the Vaishnavas, the Brahmins and the Vaishnavas. That is how the Lord appreciates. So then in text 42, after telling us how important it is, this actually will continue till 44, 42, 43, 44, continue about the Brahminical culture. In Brahminical culture, a Brahmin's transcendental position is eternally maintained. So what helps the Brahmin maintain his position? It is maintained eternally because the injunctions of the Vedas are accepted with faith, austerity, scriptural conclusions, full sense, mind control, and meditation. So these points, when the Brahmins accept these points, they are placed in this worshipable, venerable position. They accept the Vedas, the Shastra. They don't just go on their own idea of what the purpose of life is and what the Supreme is. Rather, they accept the authority of Shastra with faith, with austerity, scriptural conclusions, full sense, and mind control. Full sense and mind control, and meditation. In this way, the real goal of life is illuminated in their consciousness, just as one's face is fully reflected in a clear mirror, because the consciousness is pure like a clear mirror. Therefore, when one examines oneself, one sees an accurate image of oneself. So therefore, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has said, Cheto Dorpana Marjanam, that the consciousness must be clean. The mirror of the consciousness must be clean. Otherwise, our consciousness won't give an accurate idea of who we are. If we take spray paint and years worth of dust and leave it on the mirror, and we look at the mirror and we won't have any idea of what we look like. But if the mirror is fully cleansed with not a speck of dust upon it, then when we look and we say, oh, is that what I look like? Then we'll see, oh, I'm getting old. I am old. I'm not even getting old anymore. So many wrinkles. I used to have gray hair, and I thought that was bad. Now I don't have any hair. So we see everything is revealed, our accurate position. Only, actually, the three of us can laugh at that joke. And soon you too, maybe. Let's see, who else? So, Prabhupada explains in his purport. Since it is described in the previous verse that feeding a living Brahman is more effective than offering oblations in a fire sacrifice, in this verse it is now clearly described what Brahmanism is and who is a Brahman. In the age of Kali, taking advantage of the fact that by feeding a Brahman one obtains a more effective result than performing sacrifices, a class of men with no Brahminical qualifications claim the eating privilege known as Brahmin Bhojan simply on the basis of their birth in a Brahmin family. In order to distinguish this class of men from the real Brahmanas, Maharaj Prithu is giving an exact description of a Brahmana and Brahminical culture. One should not take advantage of his position simply to live like a fire without light. Is there any benefit to a fire without heat and light? Not to anyone else. So similarly, the Brahmin must give out light. Light means knowledge. A Brahmana must be fully conversant with the Vedic conclusion, which is described in Bhagavad Gita, Vedesh Chasavar Ahameva Vidyo. that by the Vedas Krishna is to be known. The Vedic conclusion, the ultimate understanding, or Vedanta, Vedanta means the anta or the end of the Vedas, is knowledge of Krishna as he is. Actually, this is a fact, because simply by understanding Krishna as he is, as described in Bhagavad Gita, janma karma chame divyam evam yo viti tatvata, one becomes a perfect brahmana. The brahmana who knows Krishna perfectly well is always in the transcendental position. This is also confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita. Mam chayo vibacharena bhakti yogena sevate saganan. Saganan samitayatan means that he transcends. One who is worshipping Krishna vyabhya charena continuously without any stoppage, saganan, the modes of material nature, samatityatan, he goes beyond them. Brahmabhuyaya, and he attains that position, that Brahma platform, the transcendental platform. One who engages saganan samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service and who does not fall down in any circumstance, continuous devotional service, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. One who is engaged, therefore a devotee of Lord Krishna is actually a perfect brahmana. His situation is transcendental, for he is free from the four defects of conditional life, which are the tendencies to commit mistakes, to be illusions, to cheat, and to possess imperfect senses. A perfect Vaishnava, or Krishna conscious person, is always in this transcendental position because he speaks according to Krishna and his representative. Because Vaishnavas speak exactly according to the tune of Krishna, speak according to the tune of Krishna. We usually, when we think of speaking, we don't think of speaking according to a tune or a melody. But what is the meaning of this? We think of what according to a tune or a melody? Speaking or singing? Yes, we sing. So singing means kirtan. So the speaking of the Vaishnava is actually kirtan, and it is done according to the melody. It follows the melody of Krishna that Krishna has proposed, and therefore it's pure. So he speaks exactly according to the tune of Krishna. Whatever they say, Vaishnavas say, is free from these four defects. For example, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that everyone should always think of him and worship him. Think of him. And everyone should become his devotee, offer him obeisances and worship him. And ultimately, everyone should surrender unto him. These devotional activities are transcendental and free from mistakes, illusion, cheating, and imperfection. Therefore, anyone who is a sincere devotee of Lord Krishna and who preaches this cult, speaking only on the basis of Krishna's instructions, is understood to be virajam, or free from the defects of material contamination. Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Mad Bhakto Madhiji Mam Namaskuru. And then you will come to me. So if the devotees repeat that, then it is a perfect message. A genuine Brahmana or Vaishnava therefore depends eternally on the conclusions of the Vedas or Vedic versions presented by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Only from Vedic knowledge can we understand the actual position of the Absolute Truth, who, as described in Srimad Bhagavatam, is manifested in three features. What three features? That's one, Paramatma. Brahman, and last and certainly not least, the tough one in Bhagavan. What does Bhagavan mean? Yes? What does Bhagavan mean? Yes. The one who avan, the possessor of the all opulences. Because there are different concepts of God in Bangla. What do the Christians, what do they call God? No, that's what they call Desu. Desu. What do they call God? What is their name for God in Bangla? Obviously, you don't go to the Christians, which is okay. Ishara, Ishara. Huh? There, because they of all the different names of God, Krishna, Ram, Paramatma, Brahman, Bhagavan, this is the one that most closely corresponds to their understanding of what God is. God is the Ishara. Ishara means the controller. So yes, God is controller. But is that all He is? So Bhagavan includes His virya, His power, because before one can control, one needs power. You can't control without power. But still, the concept of Bhagavan is more complete because not only is there power for controlling, but there are so many other opulences. Fame, beauty, what other ones? Huh? Yes, strength and knowledge. He knows everything. Actually, you can't be an Ishwara controller unless you know everything. And if you are Ishwara, you become full of yasha or fame. And then it's not that he is just all day thinking about life in the material world and making sure that the sun is going to rise and the moon goes in its phases properly and the right eclipses come on schedule and the season is the how many millimeters of rain fell today, this year, and this because the people are not very pious, therefore we should give them 30 millimeters of rain less. And just imagine what a job that would be. All day long seeing who's been good, writing down everyone's name, what he's been doing. Oh, he sees everything too. So just imagine the notes that he has to take. He sees every... Just imagine that. He sees everything that you do and have done. Everything. No wonder people don't want to be religious if he's there sitting up there writing down, I remember on April 23rd and you expect me to let you live after what you did? But I didn't know. Shut up and die. But I don't jai. Not jai, die. So anyway, but Krishna is so much more than that. Not just the controller, but the supreme personality of Godhead. His full personality is manifest. Fully, of course, in Brajabhumi, in Vrindavan. Fully manifest with his flute, peacock feather upon his head, his beautiful smile, and his dancing eyes. So the knowledge of Krishna is perfect. This knowledge is perfect from time immemorial. And the Brahminical or Vaishnava culture depends on this principle eternally. One should therefore study the Vedas with faith. Vedestra savar aham, Krishna says, I am to be known. Not only for one's personal knowledge, but for sake of spreading this knowledge and these activities through real faith in the words of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Vedas. The word mangala in the verse, auspicious, in this verse is very significant. Srila Sridhar Swami quotes that to do what is good and to reject what is not good is called mangal, or auspicious. To do what is good means to accept everything favorable to the discharge of devotional service. And to reject what is not good means to reject everything not favorable for discharging devotional service. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we accept this principle by rejecting four prohibited items, namely illicit sex life, intoxication, gambling, and flesh eating. This is rejected, and this is auspicious. And accepting the daily chanting of at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and daily meditation 3 times a day by chanting the Gayatri Mantra. In this way, one can keep his brahminical culture and spiritual strength intact. By following these principles of devotional service strictly, chanting 24 hours a day the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, one makes positive progress in spiritual life and ultimately becomes completely fit to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face. Because the ultimate goal of studying or understanding the Vedic knowledge is to find Krishna, one who follows the Vedic principles as described above can from the very beginning see all the features of Lord Krishna, the Absolute Truth, very distinctly, as one can see one's own face completely reflected in a clear mirror. So one doesn't, in other words, have to go first realize Brahman, and then go a stage further, and then realize Paramatma, and then go still further and realize Bhagawan and all his features. No, one in devotional service can see or understand, at least theoretically, Bhagawan right from the very beginning and doesn't have to take the gradual process. Thus, he ultimately the conclusion is therefore that a Brahmin does not become a Brahmin simply because he is a living entity or born in a Brahmana family. He must possess all the qualities mentioned in the Shastras and practice the Brahminical principles in his life. Thus he ultimately becomes a fully Krishna conscious person and can understand what Krishna is. How a devotee continuously sees Krishna face to face within his heart, as described in the Brahma Samhita, as follows: Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena Santa Sadaiva Hridayeshu Valokayanti Yam Shama Sundaram Achintya Guna Sarupam Govindam Ari Purusham Tamahan Bhajami. The devotee, by development of pure love for Krishna, constantly, this is so wonderful, how a devotee sees Krishna face to face within his heart. Is this what we would like? Would we like to actually see Krishna, realize him within ourselves? How we can do this is described in the Brahma Samhita in that verse, Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochanena. The devotee, and here's the translation, the devotee, by development of pure love for Krishna, constantly sees the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Shyama Sundara, within his heart. That is the perfectional stage of Brahminical culture. So there's 2 more verses describing the position of Brahmins and what Preetam Raj wants to say. So in that verse, previous to this verse, he's glorified the Brahmins, and in that verse, he's described how one must really be a Brahmana to get the respect, the full respect that a Brahmana should get, that one must be qualified, not be Dvijabandhu, Brahmabandhu, not to be a friend of a Brahmana, which is a respectful way of saying that one is not actually qualified to be a Brahmana. So, after describing the exalted characteristics of Brahmanas, he says something, and he's the king. And this is what he says: all respectable personalities present here, so respectful, first of all, to everyone, I beg the blessings of all of you. He's asking all the citizens to bless him with what? That I may perpetually carry on my crown, in other words, upon his head, I may perpetually carry upon my crown the dust of the lotus feet of such Brahmins and Vaishnavas. For how long? Until the end of my life. He who can carry such dust on his head is very soon relieved of all the reactions which arise from sinful life, and eventually he develops all good and desirable qualities. Purport. It is said, now Prabhupada is going to, again, after we've heard how to develop to see Krishna within continuously by developing love for Krishna, he's going to really tell us how that is developed. It is said that one who has unflinching faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which means unflinching faith in the Vaishnava, or the pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, he develops, such a person develops all the good qualities of the demigods. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavara kinchana sarvaya gunastatra samaste sura. Prahlad Maharaj also said, naishamati stavarukramam grim. Unless one takes the dust of the lotus feet of a pure Vaishnava on one's head, one cannot understand what the Supreme Personality of Godhead is. And unless one knows the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's life remains imperfect. A great soul who is fully surrendered to the Supreme Lord, after understanding him fully, and after repeatedly undergoing austerities and penances for many, many lives, is very rare. This is described in the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Samaha Sadulama. The crown of a king is simply a big load if the king or head of the state does not actually bear the dust at the lotus feet of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. In other words, if a liberal king like Prithu Maharaj does not follow the instructions of Brahmins and Vaishnavas, or does not follow Brahminical culture, he is simply a burden on the state, for he cannot benefit the citizens. In other words, he'll just exact taxes from them and not give them any eternal benefit, because he doesn't know the process of gaining eternal benefit himself. So how can he distribute to others what he himself doesn't have? Prithu Maharaj is the perfect example of an ideal executive head. Executive. An ideal chief executive. And then the final verse in this section. Gunayanam Shiladanam Kritagyam Vridhasrayam Samvrinate Anusampada. Gunayam means one who has acquired all the good qualities. Shila Dhanam. One whose wealth is good behavior. What a concept, Shila Dhanam. His wealth is good behavior. What a concept. What do people in this world generally think of as their wealth? That's obvious. Money. Okay. So therefore, the training that one gets in school is how to make money. Because people think that is their wealth. Now, if people saw that wealth was their good character and good behavior, their integrity, their qualities, but this was truly that which was to be gained. Because based on that, on one's character, one actually becomes happy or not. Because most people wealthy, not just wealthy people, but most people wealthy or not wealthy, they don't even like themselves. For good reason. Because they cheat. Because their whole goal is to get wealth. So therefore, everything else, all character, gets left by the wayside in that pursuit. So they don't even like themselves. And this is such a problem nowadays. So if character and good qualities was considered one's wealth, the nature of education would be completely transformed. The goal of education would be so different. And the result of education would again be different. And you can see this, no one wants to be a teacher nowadays, because it's so horrible having to deal with the children. Because why? They're so unruly. Why? It's because there's no emphasis on character. And the families have disintegrated, etc., etc., etc. So in other words, one whose wealth is his good behavior, krita gyan, one who is grateful, vridha asrayan, one who takes shelter of the learned, samvrinate, he achieves all opulences, anusampada. So this is the way to get true opulence. Here's the verse. Whoever acquires the brahminical qualifications, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful. What qualities? Gratefulness. Where do we learn to be grateful? Who emphasizes gratefulness? It is said that if one is not grateful for what one has, no matter what one has, one will not be happy. And if one is grateful for whatever one has, whatever one has, one will be happy. So it's the state of gratefulness that really determines what we have. But that implies a lot. That implies a lot, gratefulness, or the state of heart, consciousness. It means very little passion or no passion, satisfaction, tushti. Santushta sukadukadaha. So whoever acquires the brahminical qualification named here as whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful, and who takes shelter of experienced persons, such a person, such Brahmins, get all the opulence of the world. I therefore wish the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates be pleased with the Brahmana class, with the cows, and with me. So he ends his prayers to the citizens. We'll read a little of Prabhupada's purport of the second two-thirds. A devotee acquires all the good qualities of the demigods. He is gunayanam, the reservoir of all good qualities. His only asset is good behavior, and he's grateful. Gratitude for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of the qualities of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. Everyone should feel grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is maintaining all living entities and supplying all the necessities. As stated in the Vedas, Eko Bahunam Yoga Dadaktikamam, the Supreme One is supplying all necessities to the living entities. So if for no other reason we should be grateful to God, why? Because he's giving us the air that we breathe, the sunlight, the water, the food, the moonlight that nourishes the vegetables, the seeds, etc. As stated in the Vedas, Eko Bhunam Yovadatikamam, the Supreme One is supplying all necessities to the living entities. The living entity who is therefore grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is certainly qualified with good characteristics. The word vridasrayan is very significant in this verse. Do you know what it means? Vrida. What does vrida mean? Anyone know? Huh? Old. Vritta refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. There are two kinds of old men. He who is advanced in years and he who is experienced in knowledge. One who is advanced in knowledge is actually Vritta, Jnana Vritta. He has the fruit of his years. One does not become a Vritta simply by advancing in age. Vritasrayam, a person who takes shelter of a superior person who is advanced in knowledge, can acquire all the good qualities of a Brahmana and be trained in good behavior. When one actually attains good qualities, becomes grateful for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he is endowed with all opulence. Such a person is a Brahmana or Vaishnava. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj invokes the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his associates, devotees, Vaishnavas, Brahmins, and cows. So he ends his prayers in this wonderful way, his request to his citizens, giving them very important instructions on, based on how he behaves, on how they should behave. So how did the citizens respond? Text 45. The great sage Maitreya, who was narrating this, Madhura, said, after hearing King Prithu speak so nicely, all the demigods, the denizens of Pitraloka, the brahmanas and the saintly persons present at the meeting congratulated him by expressing their goodwill. They all said, sadhu, sadhu, which means very good, very good. Congratulations, well said. They felt fully satisfied. They all declared that the Vedic conclusion that one who can conquer the heavenly planet, that one can conquer the heavenly planets by the action of a putra or son was fulfilled. For the most sinful Vena, who had been killed by the curse of the Brahmanas, was now delivered from the darkest region of hellish life by his son, Maharaj Prithu. Similarly, another example, Aranyakashipu, who by dint of his sinful activities always defied the supremacy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he entered into the darkest region of hellish life. But by the grace of his great son, Prahlad Maharaj, he was also delivered and went back to home, back to Godhead. We'll read that purport at the end. All the saintly Brahmanas then addressed Prithu Maharaj. O best of the warriors, O father of this globe, may you be blessed with a long life, for you have great devotion to the infallible Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the master of all the universe. Prithu Maharaj, that's purport. Prithu Maharaj was blessed by the saintly persons present at the meeting to have a long life. Why? Because of his unflinching faith and his devotion to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although one's duration of life is limited in years, if by chance one becomes a devotee, he surpasses the duration prescribed for his life. Indeed, sometimes yogis die according to their wish, not according to the laws of material nature. Another feature of a devotee is that he lives forever. Because of his infallible devotion to the Lord, it is said, Kirti Yasya Divati, one who leaves a good reputation behind him lives forever. Specifically, one who is reputed as a devotee of the Lord undoubtedly lives forever. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking with Ramananda Roy, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu inquired, Who has the greatest reputation? What is the greatest reputation? And Ramananda Roy replied that a person who is reputed as a great devotee has the greatest reputation. For a devotee not only lives forever in the Vaikuntha planets, but by his reputation, he also lives forever within this material world. And we see this, that the people, the names in history that are most famous are those that are the devotees, whether they are Prabhupada or Lord Jesus or Muhammad, Yeah, but most followers, the audience continued, "Dear King Prithu, your reputation is the purest of all. Why? Because you are preaching the glories of the most glorified of all, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Lord of the Brahmanas. Since due to our great fortune, we have you as our master, we think that we are living directly under the agency of the Lord." So the citizens are giving him the greatest compliment, the king the greatest compliment, that they are seeing him as a representative of God. In other words, they're seeing God's blessings come to them from him. His affection, his caring, his providing, his so many wonderful things that the king does, or that God, everyone wishes to see in God, why people take shelter of God generally. These were all being provided by the king, who is supposed to represent that power, that protecting power, controlling, protecting, engaging power of the Lord. So how is he representing God? By his example and by his preaching. Well, "Our dear Lord," they continue, "it is your occupational duty to rule over your citizens. That is not a very wonderful task for a personality like you, who are so affectionate in seeing to the interests of the citizens, because you are full of mercy. That is the greatness of your character." So when we think of a king, we don't think of affection and mercy. But yet, these were the qualities that the citizens were appreciating within the fact that he was the ruler. They were accepting that he was ruling over them. Ruling means the force. But that ruling must be done with mercy and affection, gentility, for it to be appreciated. That is the greatness of your character. Purport. A king's duty is to give protection. I will read from the second half on the next page. The symptom of a qualified king or political leader is mentioned herein. He must be very merciful and compassionate to the people and see to their prime interest, which is to become elevated devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Great souls are naturally inclined to do good to others, and a Vaishnava especially is the most compassionate and merciful personality in society. Therefore, we offer our respects to a Vaishnava leader as follows: Manchiko Patubhyascha Kripasanubhayibhacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Only a Vaishnava leader can fulfill all the desires of the people, Vanshikopaturu, and he is compassionate because he is the contributor of the greatest benefit to human society. He is Patit Pavan, the deliverer of all fallen souls, because if the king or the head of government follows in the footsteps of the Brahmins and Vaishnavas, who are naturally leaders in missionary work, the Vaishyas will also follow in the footsteps of the Vaishnavas and Brahmins, and the Sujas will give them service. Thus the entire society becomes a perfect human institution for combined progress to the highest perfection of life. The citizens continued, "Today you have opened our eyes and revealed how to cross to the other side of the ocean of darkness. By our past deeds and by the arrangement of superior authority, we are entangled in a network of fruitive activities, and we have lost sight of the destination of life. Thus, we have been wandering within the universe. Having lost sight of their destination of life, all living entities are wandering in different species throughout the universe, sometimes getting birth in a lower species and sometimes existence in higher planetary systems. Thus, we are all wandering since time immemorial, Brahmanda Brahmate, just wandering throughout the universe. It is by the grace of the spiritual master and the Supreme Personality of Godhead that we get the clue of devotional life. Brahmanda Brahmate Konya Bhagyavan Jeev, when the living entity is fortunate. Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Ratabhij. And thus, progressive success in our life begins. Here it is admitted by the citizens of King Prithu in full consciousness. They admit the benefit they have derived from the activities of Prithu Maharaj. Dear Lord, they continue in the final verse of this chapter, you are situated in your pure existential position of goodness. Therefore, you are the perfect representative of the Supreme Lord. You are glorified by your own prowess, and thus you are maintaining the entire world by introducing Brahminical culture and protecting everyone in your line of duty as a Kshatriya. So we'll just complete the class by reading from some of the purport. The word Vrivriddha Sattvaya is significant. In the material world, there are three qualities, namely goodness, passion, and ignorance. One has to be raised from the platform of ignorance to the platform of goodness by devotional service. There is no other means for elevating one from the lowest stage of life to the highest stage but by the execution of devotional service, as advised in the previous chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam. One can raise himself from the lowest position to the highest simply by associating with devotees and hearing Srimad Bhagavatam regularly from their mouths. Srinvatam svakata krishna panya shravana kirtana vidhyanto stoya badrani vidunoti suritsitam. When one engages in devotional service in the first stages of hearing and chanting, the Lord, who is in everyone's heart, helps the devotee in cleansing his heart. Vidhyanto stoya. Within the heart, situating the heart, yabhadrani, all the abhadrani, the inauspiciousness, he removes. In the gradual cleansing process, one is relieved of the influence of passion and ignorance and is situated on the platform of goodness. The result of associating with the qualities of passion and ignorance is that one becomes lusty and greedy. But when one is elevated to the platform of goodness, he is satisfied in any condition of life and is without lust and greed. This mentality indicates one's situation on the platform of goodness. One has to transcend this goodness and raise himself to the pure goodness called Vrivriddha Satta, or the advanced stage of goodness. In the advanced stage of goodness, or pure goodness, or devotional service, one can become Krishna conscious. Okay, let's stop here. These chapters and the next chapter as well. Many long purports. They should be read very carefully. Thank you. Any questions, comments? Next week we'll begin. We'll further hear how Maharaj Prithu performs the sacrifice, and then he has the great fortune of directly seeing Chaturshana, the four Kumaras. Any questions or comments? Huh? How does beauty connect with simplicity?
Purity.
What do you mean by simplicity? What is simplicity mean to you? What is the opposite of simplicity? Yes. What is the opposite?
Complex.
There's two different meanings. There's two different meanings of what simplicity means. One is internal and one is external, manifested internally, and others manifested externally. So when we're simplicity, if we say we live simply, that means that we are satisfied very, very easily, not trying to get many, 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 many things. So that is one kind of simplicity, and clearly that springs from purity. Because purity means goodness. So when one is in goodness, one is already satisfied, and he's not trying to get his satisfaction by getting so many material things. So purity brings simplicity externally, and in the same way, it brings simplicity internally. The mind works simply because one is satisfied already. One is satisfied already. Purity means goodness. Goodness means self-satisfied. So therefore, one's mind doesn't have to become convoluted. You know what convoluted means? Very complex and twisting and turning. Trying to find some way out of getting this and how to get that. Unsophisticated even. In today's world, everyone's mind is sophisticated and complex and not straightforward. An aspect of simplicity is straightforwardness. Not the only aspect, but an aspect. Anyone else want to say anything about this? In simplicity and purity?
Well, you mentioned simplicity. Obviously, if you're simple and you're not too precious, you have to be honest. That requires purity.
Yeah, good. Which requires goodness.
Yes.
Because there's no reason to lie, because you're not trying to get anything. To cheat, lie, cheat, steal. To get more than you need because you're not satisfied with what you have. Anyone else like to say more about the connection between simplicity and purity? That's actually directly said in one of Prabhupada's purport. And we've managed to become dissatisfied in any condition. That's not purity or simplicity. Rather, it's the mode of passion, basically. Because passion breeds so many desires within the heart that no matter what position you're in, you're unsatisfied because you have so many more desires. That's the mode of passion.
How do you compare this with a pure state where the devotee is, while he's self-satisfied, he's always endeavoring so much to get everything for Krishna searchable?
He should be balanced, because sometimes our endeavors to get everything for Krishna are not exactly impelled by simply desire to please Krishna. They're sometimes impelled by our own passions and insecurities and desires and things like that. So we have to be careful. To get everything for Krishna means act in such a way that Krishna will be actually pleased. As long as it's offered with devotion, but that's the hardest thing to get, so we tend to want to take a different route. But it's good if we have passion. We can't make believe we don't. And what we have to do is work hard in Krishna's service and offer him the fruit. So I did. Seems to be to absence of envy.
Yeah.
Well, do you want to explain further? Yeah, if one is grateful and satisfied, then naturally one won't be envious. And if one is envious, he can never be satisfied because he will always see that someone has more than him. And therefore, so the envy comes from dissatisfaction. Where does the dissatisfaction come from? Why are we dissatisfied? Yeah. Really, that's why we're not satisfied. Because something is missing. That's what's missing. And because it's missing, we're looking outside to fill it, the missing part. And we see someone who has something we don't have, and we think they must be so happy. And then we become envious that the thing that we need is really not anything external, it's to love Krishna. So therefore, interestingly enough, it's one thing to become envious of people who have 7 cars because we only have 6. But when we understand that what we really need is Krishna, and we see someone who has Krishna, we have to be very careful not to become envious of them. Take that material tendency. That's what's been warned very heavily. Don't become envious of the Vaishnavas and Brahmins who have more spiritualness. Rather, we should take the dust of their feet and place it upon our crowns. This is also called the crown of the head, yes? So we all have crowns. We also have forearms, yes? We have forearms. Foreheads, forearms, everything, crowns. Everything's there. We're almost like Lord Brahma.
He
says what? Should take everything, situation is, as given by Krishna. That's what you're saying. We'll be happy with what Krishna has given. Not easy. Not easy. Something to really think deeply about and apply. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai,